Back in March of this year, when this new virus, COVID-19, broke on the scene, and the government announced measures like we'd never heard of before. And every news outlet was full of half-baked predictions about what the future was now going to hold. And the internet was full of conspiracy theories and predictions of the end of the world. Do you remember stories like COVID-19 is spread by 4G radio masts? Remember that? And no doubt the people that came up with that are sitting in their bedrooms right now composing conspiracy theories about the vaccine. But in a really short period of time, the peace of our normal lives was blown apart, and it was hard to know what to believe anymore. And a whole lot of things that we just take for granted suddenly seemed to be very unsure. And as a church, we prayed really hard at that time, and through that time, four or five different people brought a verse from the Bible that they felt was God's word to us at that time, something that God was saying to us at that time. It felt like it was a verse for the times that we were going through and are going through. And it's a verse that follows on perfectly from what we were thinking about last week. And if you didn't catch the service last week, it would be worth checking it out, because what I'm going to say today builds on what I talked about last week. We started with Christmas angels and their famous opening phrase, "Do not be afraid." And we thought about fear and God's desire for us to live free from the control of fear in every part of our lives. And what I want to talk about this week builds on to that and sort of works hand in hand with it. If you like, what I want to talk about is God's alternative to fear. So I want to go back to that verse that a number of people shared with us when we first went into lockdown back in March. At the beginning of Psalm 46, we read this: "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to sail on a tall ship. And with a crew of about 12 people, we took a tall ship out of Chatham Dockyard in Kent and across the North Sea and to Holland. And we spent a week on the boat. And the idea was that we would spend a day training, and then we'd spend 2 to 3 days making a nice, calm crossing of the North Sea over to Holland. Only on that second day, as we set out and put to sea, a storm started to blow up. And fairly soon, we were out in the open water and in a force 8 gale. And the seas were incredibly high and the boat was thrown about from side to side. And I discovered that I was blessed with not particularly getting seasick. So while most of the crew were throwing up over the side, I was okay, although still clinging on and a little bit nervous. And you might think that that meant they gave me the difficult sailing jobs to do. What it actually meant was that they gave me making the coffee for everybody else to do. Because if you're throwing up over the side, you can still pull a rope, but what you can't do is make coffee for everybody else. And so we sailed through the day and through the night in this storm. And at night time, it was particularly nerve-wracking because we were having to keep tabs on big commercial ships that couldn't see us properly because the water was so high that they had no line of sight of us. And we had to make sure that we weren't going to collide with them as we went through the shipping lanes. It was exhilarating. It was exciting. It was kind of terrifying as well. There was one point when I was sat on the bowsprit, which is the pointy bit at the front of the boat, and clinging on as I found the water was up to my chest and trying to sweep me off. It's hard to describe the feeling of relief when we finally, after 18 hours at sea, pulled into the port in Holland. And as we sailed through the harbour walls and into the quiet water inside, the relief of reaching a place of refuge in the middle of that storm. And of course, the storm was still blowing. But we had reached a place of refuge and strength. And that's the picture in those verses. God is our refuge and our strength. Therefore, we will not fear. I said last week that the most frequent command in the Bible is do not be afraid. But that command is most commonly linked with an instruction to find our refuge in God. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It says in Psalm 27. So God's pathway through fear isn't bravery. God's pathway through fear is faith. Faith put into practice by our taking refuge in Him. And straight away, that tells you something about the kind of relationship that God is looking for with you. It tells you something about the confidence that He longs for us to have in Him and in His grace towards us. When Jess was little, like all small children, there were some things that she was afraid of, some things that scared her. She was particularly not a fan of loud noises when she was a toddler. And when something scared her, she did what almost all small children do, and she would run to me or to Astrid, and she would jump onto our lap, or if we were standing up, she would bury her face in our tummy and she would cling on to us. And we, of course, would pick her up and hold her tight. And in that moment, we were her refuge. She felt safer because we'd got her. Here's what never, ever happened. Jess never once ran to me in a moment of panic and said, "Dad, I'm afraid and I want a hug, but first I need to check how you're feeling about that magazine that I drew all over and then chopped up with a pair of scissors. Oh, and I'm really, really sorry about that strip of wallpaper in the hall. It just came off in my hands. And I know my bedroom's a bit untidy, but I'll do it tomorrow. And I'd like 17 other offences to be taken into consideration." Hug? She didn't do that because she knew where she stood with me. You won't make God your refuge in a time of crisis if your mental image of God has His arms folded in disapproval, or if He's waiting to be appeased before He'll have anything to do with you. You need to know where you stand with your Father. You need to be confident that He has accepted you and loved you and made you clean. You need to know that He not only loves you, but that He likes you and enjoys your company and wants to have you around. You need to know that He isn't keeping tally of a long list of all the things that you've done that He doesn't approve of. Because when Jesus died on the cross, He took all of that away and He made you new. You need to know that you are living under God's smile of approval. And you need to know that when you need a refuge, His arms are open wide. Because if you don't know where you stand with God, you won't run to Him when the crunch comes, or when something frightening crosses your path. And here's the thing, and this is important, if you don't run to God, you will always run to something else. And pretty much everything else that people make their refuge will eventually leave them worse off than they started. Your fortress is what you run to. And if you haven't got a good fortress, you'll be sure to try to find refuge in a bad one. Your fortress is where you hide when attack comes, or when storms come, or when your peace is invaded, or when you're afraid. It's like the kids' song that we used to sing. The righteous run into it and they're saved. But there are a whole lot of things that people run into and make their fortress instead of taking refuge in God. And most of them are not bad things in and of themselves. I mean, a few of them are really bad things, but most of them are not bad things as such. But they are not the stronghold of your life. And when we put them into that position, when we try to build a fortress or a refuge out of them, they become bad things to us. Some of them are just forms of pure escapism. And there's certainly nothing wrong with books or video games or TV shows and fantasies. Those are good, healthy things. So long as that fantasy world doesn't become your place of escape in place of God. For some people, that whole fantasy world becomes so compelling that they lose track of what's real and what isn't. And their way of dealing with reality is to retreat into a made-up world. But that kind of denial will never be the stronghold of your life. It just can't keep you safe. Other people don't so much try to deny the painful realities of life as to numb themselves to them. And so their escape, their fortress, becomes alcohol or other drugs or some other means of numbing themselves. And of course, for most people, there's nothing wrong with having a drink. But the question isn't, are you an alcoholic? Or even, are you regularly drunk? It's, has drink become your refuge? Do you find yourself at the end of the day saying, gosh, it's been a hard day today, I need a gin? Or, I'm really anxious about this thing, I think I need a big glass of wine. Now, personally, I love a drink. It's a very enjoyable social thing. But it's a lousy refuge. And it will never be the stronghold of your life. For some people, their escape is in things that give them comfort. And for a lot of people, that's food. In my case, it's chocolate. Or possibly the buzz that they get from physical exercise. And again, both of those things are good things. Please don't stop eating. It's really important. And obviously, exercise is a good thing to do as well. But they can't take the place of God as your refuge and your stronghold. Where do you turn to first when the pressure is on or when a crisis hits you? Where do you find your comfort? There are other forms of comfort that definitely aren't good things. For some people, the place that they turn to for comfort is to pornography, or the short-term buzz that comes from gambling. But that very short-term comfort is no substitute for the permanence and the protection of running into the eternal arms of God. For some people, their friendships and relationships become their fortress. And of course, we all need people around us who will stand with us and who are for us no matter what. In fact, I would say that healthy friendships and relationships with others are part of the way that God looks after us. We're going to be starting a new teaching series in the new year, which is going to be all about the way that God places each of us into community so that we can do life together. But even friendships, as good and as positive as they are no substitute for turning to God in our times of need. Good friends are the most wonderful thing, but even they can't be the stronghold of your life. There are other fortresses that people try to build. Some people escape into anger and channel all of their fear and their hurt into an explosive minefield for anyone who crosses their path. Others build a fortress out of unhealthy and damaging relationships. There are too many bad alternatives to list, but there is only one place we can run to, only one person who can be our fortress, our strong tower, and the stronghold of our lives. And when we put anyone or anything else in his place, then we forfeit the comfort and the protection there is in him. And as often as not, we make our original problem worse as well. Philippians 4, verse 7 is one of those verses that we quote all the time, and I'm sure you'll know it when I start reading it. It says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Which is exactly what we need when we find ourselves afraid, isn't it? In so many areas of our lives, we need God's peace in place of our fear. But you know, I misquoted the verse. I wonder whether you noticed. Because I missed out the very first word. Philippians 4 verse 7 doesn't start "the peace of God." It starts "and the peace of God." And that "and" means that to understand the verse, you have to go back and see what came before it. And if you read verse 6, it says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see, the truth is that you can't have the peace of Philippians 4 verse 7 without the prayer of Philippians 4 verse 6. It's cause and effect. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That's what it looks like to run into the refuge that is God. That's what it looks like to make him the stronghold of your life. Taking every situation, every stress, every anxiety, every fear to him. Because he is the only refuge worth running to. In Psalm 56, it says, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, O God." So which way do you run when God says, "Flee to me"? You know, there's only a couple of occasions in the Gospels where Jesus is recorded as weeping. And both times he's weeping for other people, not for himself. But on the western slope of the Mount of Olives, looking across the Kidron Valley towards Jerusalem, there's a small chapel. And they believe that it sits on the site where in Luke 13, Jesus cried as he looked out over that city, which refused to flee to him. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." You see, God wants us to live free from the control of fear. And that freedom comes from finding our refuge in God himself. God who has his arms open if we will just run into them. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Let's pray together. So as we come to pray together, I want to ask you to privately tell God whether there are things that you want to respond to. in what we've been thinking about this morning. I'm going to lead us in prayer, but the important thing is you doing business with God and telling him if you want to make this your prayer. So just do that quietly as we begin to pray. And Lord, I want to pray for all those of us who need a reminder of where we stand with our Father in heaven. Maybe we know up here in our heads, but it feels like we don't really know in our hearts. And Holy Spirit, I want to pray that you would visit each one of us and that you would bring home in a new way the fact that we are accepted. The fact that we are loved by God. The fact that we are forgiven and made clean and treated in every way as though we had never ever sinned. The fact that we are liked by our Father God, that we're cherished. And that we have a Father who longs for us to find refuge safe in his arms. Holy Spirit, would you bring those truths home to us in a new way? And I want to pray as well for all those of us who know that when the crunch comes, that we've been running to the wrong thing, that we've made a fortress out of the wrong thing. Instead of running to God, we've run away from God and we've tried to find security in some other thing. And our Father, we want to say to you that we repent of that. That we repent of trying to build a fortress out of whatever other thing it is in our individual lives. That we choose to run to you. That we choose to make you the stronghold of our life. And to put those other things, the good things in their right place and the wrong things in their place as well. But we choose to make you the stronghold of our life. And Holy Spirit, again, we ask for your help. When the pressure comes on, when we find ourselves afraid, when anxiety hits, when we find ourselves in a stressful situation, would you help us to turn and run to our Father God first? And Father, thank you that when we find our refuge in you, we really do have nothing left to fear. And may that be our story this week and beyond this week, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.